Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Out of Spec podcast. You join me, your host, Francie, and Kyle here today to bring you some electric news. And it certainly came as a shock to many. And while there's a lot of speculation on this topic of the major layoffs from Tesla, specifically those in the charging organization and in the public policy group at Tesla, we don't have all the details. We aren't insiders at Tesla. We don't have a ton of insider information, but we thought, hey, let's lay it out on the table on what we do know, because this is a significant event in the industry. So Kyle, lay it out for me. We found out this morning because people started posting that they had lost their jobs at Tesla.
Well, this is one of the most unfortunate days, maybe for the entire EV charging industry.
This episode is made possible by the support we get from Fort Collins Kia. If you are in the market for any electric Kia, not only do they never add market adjustments, they will deliver your car to you anywhere in the 48 contiguous states for out-of-spec viewers. More information in the link in the show notes.
We don't know what's going on. Like you mentioned, it's really crazy. Apparently, sometime last night, so that would have been early morning, April 30th, I think at 3 a.m., a mass email went out letting go not just a few key executives on the supercharging team, which we'll mention, also a lot of people that we know were let go, but just like a massive amount of people. I've heard reports of hundreds. Someone said 500. I don't know if it's that many, but at least a significant number of people were let go from Tesla's supercharging and charging operation and public policy. But the crazy thing to me is, from the outside looking in, my initial reaction to this is, but superchargers are the best part of Tesla. So why did they just let everyone go? Not only will this have impacts, of course, to Tesla operations, without question, but also to the industry as a whole. The EV charging industry is a lot weaker than it was 1 year ago, I would say, just from the outside looking in. We have large companies struggling to exist, from hardware manufacturers like Tritium, unfortunately, recently, ChargePoint's not looking hot, to ChargePoint operators that are struggling to maintain relationships and build more infrastructure like EVgo and others. So the saving grace of the entire electric car transition, from my standpoint, at least, and still is the supercharger network. Everyone had switched to NACS. J3400 had become an official standard. And finally, a reliable charging network was accessible and is accessible to more than just a single vehicle manufacturer, just Tesla's. The crazy part is all of those people seemingly are gone. Like, like I even know people at automakers that are like working with Tesla to switch to J3400 and get access to supercharger. They're like, I don't even know who to call. It's crazy.
Right. Yeah. So the senior director of EV charging at Tesla was Rebecca Tanucci, I think is how you say her name, who had been at Tesla for 6 years. And so it's been said that her team and everyone under her was laid off amongst the other departments that we've mentioned, which is public policy and market development, that kind of thing, which is really important with superchargers because you're looking for the funding, you're dealing with different states and entities to make sure that you can build out the network. And there was this email, and I think it's important. Tesla hasn't commented on this. Tesla is notoriously doesn't reach out with their media team and really make things known. But we are reporting on what we know. But technically, this isn't fact, although there are people from Tesla on LinkedIn, multiple posts, multiple is an understatement, tons of posts. I was scrolling through on LinkedIn of folks saying, I woke up this morning and me and my team no longer work at Tesla. So I do think that it has happened. The magnitude of it is what really shocks me, because if it is just whole swaths of people, 500, whole teams, two different departments, that does seem like a very dramatic shift to me. And the idea that this could be restructuring seems a little bit odd, because it seems like you're wiping out an entire team. You're not really restructuring them around or reallocating the talent and the people at your company. So I do think that's an interesting take that I don't really know, because again, I don't have the insider knowledge, but I do think it's important too. These are real people. They've been laid off out of nowhere. And then there's people still at the company. And someone who's been affected by layoffs, also just knowing layoffs in general and knowing other people who have experienced layoffs and, you know, been the survivor and had survivor's guilt or whatever it is, it does take a hit to morale. And the work that existed before those teams were cut off, before those people left the company, are still there. There's still those projects that were midway, I can only imagine. And now where does that responsibility fall? So I think the concern that we're seeing all over Twitter, all over the articles that are being posted online, is kind of to what you spoke to, Kyle. Okay, this is a huge organization. This is a critical infrastructure that just lost, apparently, its whole team. What's going to happen to our EV charging network in America? And of course, we can't say for now, and we're waiting for more information, but it doesn't seem to be great. And I know that there's a lot of people online that are saying, you know, just trust the process, right? Tesla has had layoffs before and they've been dramatic, but still, I think that it is inevitable that this will affect things.
Actually, on that point, I always say I review cars and not people or companies. So this is out of my wheelhouse.
Don't review people?
I don't review people. I never bring up Elon. It's just, I'm a product guy. So, I'm certainly not about to bring up any of that now. We are talking about a major shift at Tesla, not because it's a major shift at Tesla, mostly because it will affect the industry that we cover so closely, which is charging. And with all of that said, I think it's just important to say we probably and definitely don't have the full picture from the outside looking in. I have a sneaking suspicion they might not have the full picture from the inside looking out either. I think this is really crazy, really crazy. And so crazy that I don't even know what to say, because I'm of no use here. What I can say is from the outside looking in, superchargers had their problems. Version 4 chargers have not rolled out yet. You can charge a Cybertruck faster using Electrify America. There were bugs, there's station derating. There were little things here and there, but no question, out of any other network on the world, this was the reliable and well-maintained network that existed and could and still could potentially make electric cars actually viable.
Undoubtedly.
If you let that entire team go, or a significant portion of that team go, which I know for sure happens, because like I have friends that were let go from this as well. And so like, it's, of course, there's a bit of me that's like, ah, damn, why did they let those people go? They were so great and committed to the mission. And, you know, who knows what'll happen. But no question, there is a massive shakeup because of something. I don't think, you know, you get to the point of running these major companies without a future plan, without some sort of rational thought process behind it, even though from the initial outside looking in, this seems like an irrational, crazy situation. I think it might pave the way for some exciting new developments in the future. I'm trying to remain positive here, but no question in the short term, things are going to take a hit. What it means for the transition to NACS, what it means for other automakers, you know, sort of trust in Tesla to actually partner with them when they just did something like this at such a critical moment in the network's, you know, sort of growth stage, could be interesting. So anyway, you have something you want to bring up article-wise. I also made some posts on Twitter, or made a post on Twitter, and we've received hundreds of responses around that of things that I agree and disagree with, but we also want to be representative of what our viewers are thinking so everyone can get a well-rounded picture, because I don't think any of us know for sure. So Francie's picked out a few comments of what we want to share.
Yes. And so I just did want to note that Electric, the, you know, news organization, they did get access to the email that apparently, what was it? It came from another source. The information is where it came from. And it did say that, you know, if this email is real, of course, this is, we're not 100% sure, but pretty sure that superchargers will continue to roll out and development will continue to happen. So nothing was said that, okay, this will halt everything, but it is a question of how will they do it then. And I think also significantly a concern is what we are seeing a lot in the Twitter comments. And of course, the big industry happening, which is going to J3400, the North American charging standard, the Tesla connector and the Tesla standard. And what does that mean for all these automakers that announced that that's the way that they're going? And maybe it's not that big of a deal with adapters and stuff, but I do think it is really interesting that Tesla had this big news opening up their network, opening up this technology, letting Ford and Rivian on amongst other automakers in the future. And then this really counterintuitive news about just totally taking a different approach with the supercharger network. So like you said, you did tweet about this.
Well, can you read the email to us? Can we pull that up? Is there a way that we can see that?
It's behind a paywall on the information. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I can't, but I'll link the, I mean, Electric did talk about it. So it was said the more layoffs were finalized through an email from CEO Elon Musk to executives, first reported by The Information, stating that six-year veteran Rebecca Tannucci, Tesla's senior director of EV charging, would be leaving the company on Tuesday, along with nearly all of her 500-person charging team. So that was portion of it. And by the way, this article is by Jameson Dow on Electric. So I'll link Jameson's that, of great. Course.
But what we don't know is, and we will learn, I'm sure, through LinkedIn posts. This is the first of many stories we're going to do on this. We're, of course, going to try and get some of the people affected somehow, once they figure out their NDAs or whatever, come on and at least talk to us about what they can talk to us about. We know a lot of people that were affected here, and I've already been talking to some of them. They want to come and talk. They just want to figure out what they can and can't say first, which is totally reasonable. Let's share what the people are thinking. Let's go to Twitter, because this is, of course, it's important to remember Twitter has a lot of very pro Tesla and very pro Elon people. So it's maybe not the best wide representative view, but I do think we got a large mix of comments that represent everything I was thinking, at least from every side I could imagine.
Certainly so. Yeah. So you tweeted this, and what you wrote is that we're recording a podcast on the supercharger team layoffs. Like we said, we usually stick to car reviews, not people or company, but we'd love to hear your thoughts, comments. And there's been a lot of comments, 133 so far. The notifications are just flying in. So if we scroll through, I think we see a lot of like, okay, this is like, we can see here from Rivian Tracker, okay, this is opportunity. Who might we see step in? Which I think is interesting. But like you said, there's not a lot of huge, strong players in the industry of charge point operators and these EV charging providers.
Well, if you look at charge point operators, they've been having layoffs themselves.
Exactly.
They're struggling to make a viable business case to provide charging. The hardware manufacturers might be in a little bit better situation, but then Tritium just went under and ChargePoint struggling. And, right. you know, and, but there's new networks coming like Ayana, which certainly I hope some of the talent transfers over there. However, they may have just hired everyone they needed, right? We recorded months ago,
right?
Back in the winter.
They're also in an infancy. So it's not like they can, I mean, this, no matter what
happens, they don't even have a charger.
Take a minute. Exactly. Yeah. They have a team trying to figure out how to get their chargers in, I assume.
I think Max had a good saying. They had a JPEG on their website. And that was
yes, that's true. That is, so, I mean, they've got a logo, they've got a team, but...
the thing is, the industry cannot absorb 500 talented people. So there will be a major shift for, or even if it's 100 people, I don't think the industry could absorb 100 new people into the rest of the charging business. It's a really tight, small industry.
It's true. I completely agree. I wish everyone, you know, the best of luck. Being laid off absolutely sucks. Take your time, but you got to know that those are some talented folks, some of the best in the bunch. So I'm sure that it's already competitive, but those are some competitive candidates. One thing that I did see in some of the comments was people suggesting to look back at Tesla's history of making what might be seemingly on the outside crazy decisions. And then kind of implying that the current situation could be something like that, where we'll look back and we'll be like, oh, I see why exactly that happened. But of course, at this point in time, we can't understand that. There is concern that long-term customers and employees and shareholders will start to get a bit nervous about what this means for Tesla. Tesla owners, I've seen some comments that say, well, I got my Tesla because of the supercharger network. What does this mean about the company at large with these layoffs? What does it mean about the supercharger network? What do you think as a Tesla owner, Kyle?
It doesn't instill confidence at the moment, especially with someone with a Tesla that doesn't interface natively with the supercharger network. It's not a high voltage network supporting their high voltage flagship vehicle. I own, of course, a Model 3 and a Model S as well. I don't think we're going to see any major effects in the short term. You know, certainly it's not like the network's getting shut off today. I don't think anything like that is happening. But I think it does wake us up to like maybe some of the instability of working at Tesla. And does that lead to instability from a customer experience standpoint, where could they just shut off the network to other vehicles one day? I don't know. This is crazy. So that would be crazy. I don't know what to think. All I know is it's happening. I think we're going to feel the effects of it. We're going to learn the effects of it over time. And perhaps that's a great thing for long term. I struggle to see that right now. But again, we don't have all the same big picture information as to what was the roadmap, what's the future looking like. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there was truly a major underlying issue here, which stems from something as simple as, you know, the charger's just not functioning in a competitive standpoint against other hardware, all the way to who knows why this would happen. I mean, I think in the end, they had great reliability. They had great software, great, you know, everything from a user standpoint was great, except for the high power stuff. They had site level limitations. They did not support 1,000 volts, which in my opinion, should not qualify them for NEVI funding. And so perhaps it's something as simple as just V4 didn't roll out in time and the whole, like, let's deploy posts. You know, V4 dispensers to fool people. Like, I really don't know. What do you think, Francie? What's your opinion?
I really don't know. My clear opinion, the one that I'm confident about, is that this is, if it's 500 people, if it's whole departments, that is a dramatic shift within the company, no matter what, and the ripple effects will be felt. Some people like to maybe either be optimistic or be really trusting in the fact that there is a business strategy behind it, but I still think like humanizing it as well as understanding the impacts on the industry is important, as well as public perception. I was on a trip with a lot of people and some of them know a little bit about EVs, but like that's the most that they know a little bit about EVs. And I'm like, how am I going to explain this now? Not only are there layoffs in this space all the time, the business model of selling electricity is a tough one, but now it's like, okay, well, the Tesla Supercharger Network, which is what people know is a strong suit of this company, is in a space of limbo, question mark, although I'm confident they'll carry it on. But, you know, how do I explain this to someone even when I have all the information. I don't know.
So, I mean, here's just, let's just browse some sites together. We may as well.
Let's look through it. Well, one thing I saw that I want to ask you about is the selling electricity business model and maintaining superchargers. Tesla did it well. Do you think that would actually, that wouldn't be a motivation to do this because I think they're going to have the supercharger network running no matter what. I mean, is it just cutting costs?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're like, oh, everyone did their job. Now it's great. See you later. I really don't know. That's the thing. But I will say here's Will commenting on, who's an out-of-spec viewer, by the way. Confirmed, he worked on the supercharger team. Elon has let our entire charging organization go. What this means for the charging network, NACS, and all the exciting work we were doing across the industry, I don't know yet.
Yeah.
Crazy. And then it's like, people are like, oh, this isn't real. And it's like, yes, believe what you want, folks. Tesla charging is no more.
I can't believe that Tesla charging is no more.
So, I mean, this is, and then, you know,
it's all obsolete.
It's pretty crazy to think about what's going on here. Let me just head over to my profile and comments just for a moment, because I mean, people are of course pissed. You know, this is an interesting comment. NACS is the national standard now. Why does Tesla need a supercharger team? Public companies with public money will take care of it now. Perhaps there was just no ever way for the supercharger network to become profitable. I find that hard to believe. I think they had the best chance of anyone, high utilization, building hardware in-house, you know, reducing costs and the quickest deployments and maybe even the best deployments. You know, our friend Chris Dirty Tesla is commented, Tesla is a company with a history of doing crazy things and wouldn't exist as we know it today without that culture. Maybe look back at some of the crazy news from the past in hindsight, that in hindsight make more sense. We have mentioned that on this show too. Maybe there's something we're missing here and just all of those people were clogging up Tesla. I don't know, but it just seems like a pretty ruthless thing to do. I don't know. From my standpoint.
Yeah, it was interesting because Sawyer Merritt is typically someone who is quick to comment or tweet, get out this breaking news information. And he had like 15 days ago done a quick history of the Tesla layoffs, which might be something like that. Like look at to the layoffs of the past. And I just thought it was interesting that, you know, he kind of basically he laid it out, but he and all the different layoffs and that their magnitude over the years, which are significant. But he did say that he's not trying to put a positive spin on this just because he's a Tesla shareholder, that the departures are definitely unfortunate and their talents will be missed. He still felt optimistic about the company's long-term prospects and that Tesla still had a deep bench of talent and expertise. But since then, it has even been lessened. So not so sure about what he's feeling now.
I mean, I was just messaging with Sawyer. He's like, I don't know what's going on, but a lot of people are getting let go. But I don't think he knows much more. I was just chatting with him.
Interesting.
Here's one shockingly bad move. There are bloated orgs with good examples of cutting them without loss of function, like Twitter. I agree. Twitter was actually let a lot of people go. And from a user experience, maybe a couple little glitches here or there. I mean, here's another one, like supercharger team never felt like it was bloated. The only concern was that V4s are, there, you know, basically V3s. Shareholders should be mad. I don't know. This one, this guy says, y'all need to chill. I don't think letting hundreds of people go is something we should chill about.
I don't think so either. I think there is a rational discretion in taking in this information and not just running to panic because we should be logical, of course, but it is reality that this is a significant number of people and the department especially. Like, of course, marketing is a really important department and they had layoffs there, but the fact that this is critical infrastructure is, it just puts it on a different level in my opinion.
I'm just searching Tesla layoff here on LinkedIn for everyone.
That's what I was doing.
So here's Will, I mean,
go to posts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So luckily on LinkedIn, you can go by posts. And if you look like Tesla supercharger, you get a whole list of people. And a lot of people are listing everyone who is on their team as well.
Well, here's Jennifer from Lucid, and you know, basically saying that Lucid's ready to you know, grab some talent.
Yeah, that's good. Yep. I wonder where they'll go. There are, you know, the few contenders in the EV charging space. There's also a lot of smaller companies. Maybe it's an automaker.
Yeah, I mean, here's a lot of Tesla colleagues reaching out saying, you know, of course, what's going on with them? Like, just trying to offer support. Either way, it's not a good thing for company morale. I mean, let's just say Tesla is trying to, at the end of the day, just to keep up some fresh comments and just keep scrolling on Twitter.
Yeah.
Who's going to want to work for Tesla if this is the way they handle employees?
So this is something that I think about a lot, because as someone who hasn't managed or run a big business, of course, but I have been a part of them, I think about this in the way that, you know, Tesla and other tech companies have, you know, approach where it's like sink or swim. You know, you want to be a part of our team, you figure out how to work with us. But company culture and enjoying where you work and enjoying your workplace and being excited to come to work and having friends in the workplace leads to better teams. It leads to better outcomes, in my opinion. So I think some people are like, well, just get on board with it, or don't come to Tesla, or don't come to this company if you can't hang with the way that we do things. Obviously, somehow it works sometimes, but I just don't really think that it is the way to attract the new age of the way that our workforce thinks either, which is holding different values where you want to be valued in your workplace and respected and have an idea of the insight of the leaders that you are working for, working with. And something like this, personally, I think a lot of people are blindsided, and it probably doesn't leave a good taste in a lot of people's mouths. And being on the inside, not knowing what project is now going to come onto your plate because many of your colleagues were laid off, I think that's pretty shocking as well, and wouldn't be a great feeling. So I don't know. I'm not pro very much these harsh work environments. I see that results can come from them, but I don't think that it is the way that it has to be, personally.
That's why you work for Out of Spec. Go to France for 2 weeks, whatever.
Yeah, you know. I've worked in other great work environments too, though, where, you know, people value what their employees value. And I think that's really significant. So there's a lot of different management types in all different businesses and organizations.
I don't necessarily think the most
successful ones are the best. Yeah,
I think I've studied our wheelhouse.
I studied some organizational structure stuff, you know, when I was getting my degrees, and I just have experience. I'm speaking from experience, which.
Yeah, sure. Of course. I have never been a part of a mass layoff or anything like that. All I can say is, from an industry outside looking in, Tesla supercharging seemed to be one of the stronger sides of the business. They let a bunch of people go. We don't know why. We don't know what the long-term strategy is. I'm sure there is one. I'm sure it's going to be fine and maybe get rebuilt even better for the end user and consumer. No question, this sucks for the people that were laid off. I'm really worried that the industry can absorb this many people. Mm-hmm. And we wish everyone the best. And of course, if anyone wants to come and talk about the industry effects of this that they're seeing as we go into the future, the network performance effects of this going into the future, we still don't know who got laid off, manufacturing, install, design engineers. We don't know what teams got let go. If it's all of them, that would be insane. Which I don't believe. I mean, I can't imagine it's every supercharging member got let go, but maybe it's true. We don't know. It's too early. But let us know in the comments.
Some people were reassigned. Several. Okay. That's what I word. But that's not a bunch compared to 500. So, yeah, I think this is, obviously, we don't have all the answers, but we thought it was important to address because of the industry impacts, because of the very prevalent stance and footprint and influence that Tesla has in this industry, ranging from the EVs themselves to the charging. And obviously, we're interested in what happens next. I appreciate everyone, like everyone is tuning into this conversation because it is significant. While not panicking is important, addressing this is also very important.
Agreed.
Agreed. Okay, let us know what you think in the comments. Be kind. I'm just going to say that. And have a great rest of your day. Let us know what's on your mind, what you think is going on behind this. And of course, we will follow up with any guests that we can get, as Kyle stated, and any more information we find along the way. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Feel free to check out the tweet thread that Kyle has to see what everyone is saying online. See you next time on the next episode of the Out of Spec podcast. Bye-bye.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, welcome to the Next Wave podcast. Consider us your chief AI officer in your business. My name is Matt Wolf. I have the number one YouTube channel in the AI space. I also run futuretools.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Lands, founder of lore.com. We want to bring you the latest AI news and trends, show you how you can use AI in your business and personal life, and help make it super easy for you to understand and execute. We're going to equip you with the knowledge to thrive in this upcoming wave of change.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets. Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.